Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. You're listening to Nick and Cecil on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Oh, love 90s basketball, man. Anybody that knows me knows that it's all about 90s basketball in my house. And, of course, Nick Ferguson, Cecil Lammy here on The Fan, on the VIP line. It's Tim Hardaway, man. Tim Hardaway, UTEP two-step, run TMC, obviously Miami Heat, even here with the Denver Nuggets as well. Tim, good evening. Welcome to the show, man.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
Doing great, and it's an honor to talk to you, Tim. And I got to first start with that UTEP two-step, because growing up, playing basketball here in Colorado, I tried like hell to do that move, couldn't do it. How did you come up with that and the nickname, the UTEP two-step? You know, let's go back to the day when that killer crossover you had just took everybody by storm.
Well, you know, we was playing LA Lakers in 91. We just beat the San Antonio Spurs, and we was about to play the Lakers in a form. And a couple of days, I guess a day or two before the game, you know, reporters was talking to Magic Johnson about our team, Ron TMC, Golden State Warriors. And he just mentioned, he said, hey, you know what? Tim Hardaway has a deadly killer crossover. And, you know, we got to watch out for that. He can bring it out anytime. We have to be prepared. We have to be prepared to help. We got to be in help position. And, you know, we got to be ready to rotate. And that's when it got its name, you know, because he said the killer crossover. And then UTEP said the UTEP two-step. So it everything kind of happened at the same time. And, you know, I just worked on it during the course of my career at Texas El Paso. And I formed it there and, you know, just used it in my repertoire whenever I came down on fast break or when I was, you know, just playing, you know, and it just helped me to get to the basket, make a play for my teammates, make it easy for me to get past my man. Because at that particular time, you know, basketball, when he's playing defense, it was like, you know, all out war. You could grab, hold, push, you know, put your hands on people and swerve them different ways. So you had to have a move. You had to have a consistent move to get past somebody. And I had it. You know, it was called a UTEP two-step or the killer crossover. And it was fun because, you know, it brought out oohs and ahs. You know, everybody loved it. you kind of shake your man. So it was really cool.
Tim, when you look at Chicago basketball, there are a number of players that are native Chicagoans that have gone on to play in the NBA. What was it about it that kind of started that, and where did that kind of mentality come from, especially when we watch some of today's guys who've come from that Chicago area like yourself?
Well, you know, Chicago basketball has always been tenacious. You have to be really, you know, prepared for corrective criticism. I call it corrective criticism. A lot of people call it criticism. A lot of people talk about, you know, this negativity. A lot of people saying that, you know, you don't want nobody to make it. But, you know, it's about teaching. It's about teaching, and it's about making sure that everybody that comes from Chicago is trying to make it understand it's hard work, you know. And if you want to make it, it starts in high school. It starts in grammar school, your preparation, your understanding how to play the game, listening to older people that's nurturing you, that cares about you, and that's trying to help you to that next level. And that's what I was able to do. I was able to learn from older people, listening to them. Teach me the game of basketball. Teach me how to play. Teach me the ins and outs. Teach me how to maneuver. You know, teach me how to win, actually. Teach me how to be a leader. And without their tutelage, I wouldn't have done what I was able to do. And it's all about listening. You know, a lot of these young guys, they don't want to listen. They want to, or they think they know it themselves. But the ones that listen, you know, Isaiah Thomas, Mark Aguirre, Terry Cummings, Doc Rivers, Mo Cheeks, Ricky Green, you know, I listened to those guys, you know, and they taught me how to play this game and play it at a high level. And then, you know, we taught Derrick Rose, Patrick Beverly, you know, and those type of guys, Michael Finley, Antoine Walker, you know, and all those guys, and Juwan Howard, you know, we taught a lot of guys, you know, what to expect, what they need to do to make it in this league and just make it, you know, in college and just make it out in this game of basketball. And I say the people that had, you know, a hard head, that had confidence in themselves and had a little F-U-N-U in them, you know, that's what you need. You need an F-U-N-U, you know, and if you have that in you, you can overcome because it's hard in Chicago because there's a lot of criticism. But, hey, you take that criticism and turn it around, and I call it constructive criticism because it's going to always help you, and you got to have a strong mind to come out of there and to play. When you come out, you'll be ready to play at a high level.
Fantastic. Former NBA superstar Tim Hardaway joining us here. Nick and Cecil on the Fan. We're all watching The Last Dance. What did you think about what we've seen so far? You know the story. You played against the guys.
Yeah,
and
love
just
it.
The Last Dance has been such a breath of fresh air, like we all knew it was going to be.
Love it. You know, I'm from Chicago, like you said, and I watched the Bulls, and I watched Michael Jordan when he first came to Chicago, got drafted. I used to sit in the third balcony because at that time, that was the only seat that I could get in the third balcony in the last row to watch the games. And, you know, it was amazing. It was amazing how he didn't say a word, didn't cry, didn't cry to the referees, didn't cry to the media. You know, he it made him stronger playing against the Detroit Pistons, made him stronger. And that's what drove him to get past the Detroit Pistons. And at that particular time, no, you didn't shake nobody's hands. You know, if you lost, sometimes you shook their hands, sometimes you don't. Didn't. But it was, you know, it was your choice. But, man, he was, you know, I think if everybody looked back today and if it was had to change, yeah, they would have shook their hands. Isaiah and them would have shook their hands.
Right.
And I know he would have, because Isaiah is not like that. And another thing is, when you have a guy on your team and your co-captain say, hey, you know, we're not going to shake their hands. At that particular time, everybody, you was with everybody. A team was at one. And I'm going to tell you this. I know that article did come out about what Michael said. And I thought that was going to fire up the Detroit Pistons, and actually the Bulls were going to lose that one and bring it back home and win it at home, tell you the truth. But they went out there and won the game anyway and swept them. But, you know, what Michael went through, he just telling his story how at that particular time what drove him and what made him to become a winner. And to win for not only himself, but for the Chicago Bulls in Chicago.
Well, Tim, when you played, the game was a little different. It was more physical. And when I look at some of the players now, I always say, Cecil, and I always say, well, they wouldn't have made it back then. Here in Denver, we have two guys, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. How do you think either of those players would have fared back in your day in the way that the NBA played basketball then?
Well, I tell you this, you can't compare eras because, you know, back then they would have been growing up the way we grew up and they would have been playing a style that we have been was able to play. And I think because their basketball IQ is off the chart. I love watching those two guys, but I love watching the Denver Nuggets play. I think the coach is doing Malone is doing a hell of a job is getting them guys to play and to play together and understand what they need to do to go out there and win games. And, you know, I think they picked up a great guy, Grant, to come off the bench, a hustler, get extra, you know, rebounds for the team, block shots, come from anywhere, and good defender. I think they have done an excellent job with that team and having that team play at a high level. So I love watching them play. But Murray and Jokic, I love watching them two guys play. And I think they could have played in that era because they would have figured it out. But like I said, in that particular time, we was playing that particular way, tough, rugged, strong, physical. Yes, they could have played that way. Them two could have played that way. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Malone has that team playing physical and strong and with a lot of confidence. I think that whole team could have played in our era, because that's the display they'd be out there playing with.
Wow.
Wow. Woo. Wow.
Former NBA superstar Tim Hardaway joining us here, Nick and Cecil. We'd talk to you all night about basketball. Just please tell me, sometime down the line, somebody's going to make a documentary about Heat versus Knicks.
Oh.
Please, just lie to me, Tim. Just lie to me.
Oh, yes.
And don't hang up. Don't hang up because I'm a Knicks fan. Don't hang up because I'm a Knicks fan. But I got to know. I got to know the behind the scenes. I want you sitting there with a tumbler of whiskey like Mike. I want you telling the stories. I want to see like a Last Dance, but Heat and Knicks, because that was
a battle.
Epic. That was a battle.
I'm going to tell you something. I think all of us, the Heat and the Knicks, could tell their own versions of those rivalries, and each game that we played and what was going on through our mind and during the game. Man, I'm going to tell you, man, I wouldn't change that for the world. Them are a great group of guys. They played hard, just like we played hard. They didn't like us just like we didn't like them. And we every night we left it all on the court against each other, and that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way, you know, basketball was supposed to be played. And I you know, just looking back at it and looking at old tapes, looking at old film and watching games, I'd be like, wow, you know, I mean, that shot that Allen Houston hit against us broke our heart, you know. When we won in game seven, you know, the brawl series, it was just back and forth, tooth and nail. I wouldn't change it for the world, and I think everybody has their own version of it, and everybody has some insight, and I think that everybody would like to hear. And but you know, it was great battles, and you know, I some guys still hate each other to this day.
Well, I can tell you this, Tim, as a guy that grew up in Miami during that era, I saw yourself, P.J. Brown, and Alonzo Mourning play sitting in the rafters. My dad had tickets. It's a pleasure for me, and I'm fanboy here for just a moment to just have you on. Thank you for everything you did, I guess, in my childhood at that time, because that crossover, every kid, just like Cecil said, tried to duplicate it, but you were the only person to actually master it. So I appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes today. So thank you once again.
No problem. Thank you. And I just want to say, you know, thank you to the first responders. Thank you to the frontline people. Thank you to the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses. I want to thank them because they out there doing a courageous job and putting their lives on the line. And we do appreciate you all, and we do care about you all, and God bless you all.
Fantastic. Great, great, great interview. Tim Hardaway, ladies and gentlemen, right here with Nick and Cecil on The Fan. Fantastic. And Tim, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you. Anytime. Just let me know. Y'all
right.
Take care, and y'all be safe out there.
We'll do that.
We'll do that. And, man, now I got to go down a YouTube wormhole and watch old Knicks and Heat games. Because what'd you say, P.J. Brown? That's the guy that body slammed Charlie Ward.
Yes, P.J. Brown. He
body slammed Charlie Ward.
He was the muscle.
He body slammed a man on a basketball court.
That's how crazy basketball was during that time. That's how it was. Charles Oakley. You brought up something about the Knicks, right? And you always talk about how every night on this show we find out more things about ourselves. So right. So now I'm finding out that you're a Knicks fan and I'm a longtime Heat fan, right?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Wait, we got problems. Coming up next, Cecil's not on the show. Yeah. Woo, we got a lot to get to then. Going down memory lane about The Last Dance. I will take some English-speaking classes so I can actually spit that out. Going down memory lane, talking about the Denver Broncos, and talking about, well, the Broncos going to pick up the fifth-year option on Garrett Bowles or not. It's not that hard to figure out. We tell you what the answer is next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.